Lancaster Baptist Podcast features the dynamic preaching and teaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, the senior pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church. The purpose of this podcast is to help others love God, grow together through the teaching of God's Word, and serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
As we look at striving together for the future this month of July, we want to just learn about how to have a vision for the future that's pleasing to the Lord. And every one of us should realize that every day is a gift from God. And we should not enter tomorrow or next month or next year or whatever time we have, just kind of same old, you know. But we ought to desire to know the will of God and to follow His will for our lives. And this is a Bible study about that. And it's a Bible study tonight about how to get God's vision and what He desires for our lives and for our future. And a lot of people, they get their vision for tomorrow through the corporate structure or through a 50-cent raise. Or some people, their paradigm of what is a good church is, well, what's the program of the church, or what's the musical preference or whatever. But you're going to find tonight the vision should always flow from the Word of God. That's what matters the most. And so let's see that. Proverbs 29, verse number 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. All right, let's read it together. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time in your house tonight. I ask you to help me as I teach this wonderful verse. And I pray that you'd encourage and help our church family to get your view on life and our lives in particular. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, tonight we want to place an emphasis on biblical vision, God's will for our lives, or seeing God's will for each of our lives through the lens of the Word of God. And I want to warn you tonight before we start the Bible study that oftentimes God's biblical vision is quite different from the world's idea of success. A lot of times the Christian life is a life that is filled with paradox. Paradoxical situations where we might feel that we know what makes sense, but then God says the way up is down. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will what? Lift you up. Give and it shall be. So a lot of times what makes sense to us is not necessarily God's way or God's design for the Christian life. And so tonight when we talk about God's vision or God's desire for us, we want to recognize that what we're looking at is not common sense man's decision or man's idea, but we want God's will for the future of our lives. And that's what His vision is all about. Someone said a godly vision is right for the times, it is right for the family, it is right for the church, it is right for the people. A godly vision promotes faith rather than fear. A godly vision motivates people to action. A godly vision requires risk-taking. A godly vision glorifies God, not people. But how do we find and fulfill this type of vision? Now, a lot of times people make a move based on what's more comfortable. That's the opposite of faith. A lot of times people make decisions based on what would be more desirable. And many times, that's the opposite of the will of God. Now, I'm not saying that God's will is that we would be uncomfortable and unsafe and unhappy in all of our lives. But I'm saying this, you and I would be better off living in the middle of Tijuana in the center of the will of God than having everything this world offers and not having our lives growing spiritually. And when you really begin to look at life from a biblical perspective, it affects your decision-making process in so many different ways. And so let's begin tonight with this first thought, the definition of spiritual vision. The definition of spiritual vision. And let me say this to you tonight. The word vision means the setting forth of the will of God, or the understanding of the will of God. So when we talk about vision, we're not talking about some flowery concept of just a mental image of what we want. But when we study tonight the word vision, we're talking about God's revelation and we're talking about God's will in a particular matter. Now, how many of you understand this? If vision was just my desire for the future, then none of our missionaries would ever go to the mission field. In other words, missionaries, if the essence of life was having more and making more and having comfort, we would never have a missionary conference. Because no one says, my vision, my desire for me, my idea of success is living in El Salvador, in a rented apartment and, you know, putting my family in danger. No one thinks that way. If that's the essence of scriptural, spiritual vision, no missionary would ever go. By the way, most of us are not going to be missionaries like Brother Keck here tonight. Hi, Brother Keck. Good to see you guys. Stand up over here. Our missionary is to Papua New Guinea. Let's welcome them tonight, Brother and Mrs. Keck. Most of us are not missionaries like the Kecks are tonight. But since when do just the missionaries have to have God's biblical vision for their life? You see, God wants all of us to find His will for our life. And when I talk many times to young people about where they want to live and what job they want to have and why do they want to do certain things, the reasoning so often, though they would never admit to this, but the reasoning very often is so self-centered and so non-biblically centered that it's frightening. Because as a pastor, sometimes you can sense, you know what? I can't tell them, I'm not the Holy Spirit, but the process of reasoning here seems like they could be very easily stepping out of the will of God for their life. Listen, if it's not born of faith, it's not born of God. And so when we talk about vision, we're talking about what does God want for our life? What does God want us to do in this matter? Now let me then say, first of all, biblical vision will be found through the Bible. It will be found, letter A, it is given through the Bible. Christian vision is not human idealism. Let me say that again. Christian vision is not human idealism. Okay? Christian vision is God's direction for your life. The word vision is often in the Bible used in a synonymous term with the idea of revelation. It's the idea of God revealing His will. Isaiah 1:1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Here Isaiah was saying, here's the revelation that God gave to me. Now, how do we get revelation from God? Okay, I'm not a prophet. I'm a pastor teacher. You're not prophets in the sense of revealing like Isaiah did. But we do have the revelation before us tonight. What I find is that many times major decisions are made without consulting this. Major decisions are made without really getting into the Word of God. So notice what our revelation is, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is, what's that next word say? What? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that means mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Another verse in Psalm 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. So God says, let my word illuminate the direction of your life. And what I have said for many years in studying this word vision and teaching on this word vision over the years is that spiritual vision is a view of my life through the lens of God's word. It's a view of my life through the lens of God's Word. Now, you're going to find that all of us view life, our life, through the paradigm of our experiences. So we tend to view things through the paradigm of our experiences. If you grow up in an inner city situation, you're going to sometimes grow up with the idea that those in authority are against you, and the only way out is to be a rich sports player or welfare or crime or whatever. You have an idea of what life is. You grew up on a farm, perhaps. Your idea is going to be more of a farm-orientated view of life. And you grow up in church, you have a different view than the guy who's never stepped in church. And all of us have different life experiences, and then sometimes we say, well, my gut check on this, or my heart idea on this, and those are okay, those are cultural viewpoints, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. And that's why in receiving counsel, Your counsel needs to be from those who live not just in the inner city or the farm or New York or California, from those who live in the Word of God. Okay? And so, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Spiritual vision is view of my life through the lens of God's word. It's given through the scripture. Now you say, well, the Bible doesn't say take the job at Lockheed. The Bible doesn't say date Deborah. Okay? But the Bible says certain things about priorities and about relationships. And when we read the Word of God, He will guide and direct us. Secondly, this matter of biblical vision, we are guided by the Holy Spirit. We are guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible says the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be added. And the Holy Spirit adds to the church. And it's interesting when someone's red hot for the Lord and they love certain things about the spiritual life or the life of the church and so forth. No doubt about it. It is the Holy Spirit that brought me to this relationship with this person or to the church or to this job or to this city. And yet sometimes when we grow weary in the flesh because of financial troubles or the weather's hot or our relationship isn't as great as we thought it would be. After a while, it's interesting how we begin to act like, you know, I think the Holy Spirit made a mistake. I don't think He wanted me to marry her. I don't think He wanted me to give. I don't think He wanted me to come to this church. And did you know that those trials that come to our lives are not always indicative of the Holy Spirit making a mistake? They might be indicative of the fact that there is a devil that doesn't want you faithfully serving the Lord. He doesn't want you staying married. He doesn't want you supporting a missionary like Brother Keck. He wants you to get weary in well-doing. The Lord will renew your strength, but the devil's going to do everything he can to discourage you. And so in those times, what we need is the guidance and the comfort and the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to have God's Spirit. And I'm looking at our new principal, Brother Kurtz. And Brother Kurtz just came in from the farm areas of Ohio. Now he's experiencing his first Lancaster summer. And it's going to get hot, Brother Kurtz. And you know what? I pray that you experience several dozen of them and that we serve the Lord for many, many years. But I can guarantee you that everyone who comes here initially and is overwhelmed with the choir and overwhelmed with the blessings, and there are so many blessings, there will come a time in your life when, if you're not careful, it's just not all that you once thought it was or whatever the case might be, and the flesh will begin to take over. And that which was born of the Spirit can be quenched by the fleshly appetites and thought patterns. And so that's why we must walk in the Spirit, that we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Okay? A spiritual man will stand. A spiritual man will have certain fruit and characteristics. And every one of us who are saved, even in those hot summer days 2 decades later, we can still have the fresh inner anointing of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. And that's what I need, and that's what you need in your life. Look at John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. So the Holy Spirit abides in you. The Holy Spirit illuminates our lives. The Holy Spirit gives us fruit, such as joy and peace, and He will guide us along the way. And it really boils down, and I've said this for so many years, but it boils down to either being driven by the flesh or driven by the Spirit. And I was talking to Brother Furso earlier, and a lot of times we'll give time in marital counseling. And one of the most dumbfounding things to me as a pastor over the years is, okay, here's a woman who says she's saved. Here's a man who says he's saved. Now, I understand frustration. I understand people being upset with each other over something for a little while. But I do not understand two saved people who say they're saved, who say they have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can give the fruit of forgiveness, of love, and of joy. I do not understand two people not reconciling if they're Christians. And it absolutely is not because God is failing. It's not because the Holy Spirit isn't at work. It's because we're quenching the Spirit and we're saying no to God. When we say yes to God, He will always keep a marriage alive. But we have to say yes to God. And by the way, I'm just saying tonight, by the way, concerning the matter of the vision for your marriage, did you know that this God, the same vision that you had when you said, I do, that's still God's vision? You say, well, you just don't know. No, I do know. And I've seen a whole lot worse survive when two people yield to the Holy Spirit of God, you see. So the definition of spiritual vision, it's going to come through the Bible. It's going to come as we listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, when we quench the Spirit, the result of that is death. It's death to your walk with God. It's death to your walk with your spouse. And so we've got to be alive to the Spirit. We don't want to quench the Spirit, but we want to yield the Spirit. The definition of spiritual vision is that it comes from the Bible and it comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Now, if you're saved tonight, the Holy Spirit convicted you and brought you into relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit wants to keep you walking in that same direction of growth all the days of your life. So that's the definition of spiritual vision. It comes from the Word of God. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Watch this. My gut thought, my intention, and my flesh will always bring death to a relationship or to a walk with Christ. But the Word of God and the Holy Spirit always bring a flourishment and always help us. That's why tonight is so important. That's why as a pastor, I believe when I stand in this pulpit and I've prayed and I've studied the Word of God, that I'm standing up offering the potential every single time to help save a marriage, to help save the direction of someone's life, to help someone get back closer to God. Every time the Bible is open, we have the opportunity to see God's vision anew and afresh. And I don't know about you, I need to see that His mercies are new every morning. I need to have that clear vision of God's will for my life tomorrow morning. All right, now let's notice secondly, the demonstration of spiritual vision. Now, you can see God's plan unveiled in your life and demonstrated according to how you respond to His Word or not. So notice it says in this verse in our text, where there is no vision, the people perish. All right. Where there is no vision. And again, the word vision here means God's revelation. It means a biblical understanding. So where there's no vision, the people perish. All right. America is losing biblical vision and people are perishing. OK. Unborn babies are being continuously daily aborted. Their lives are being taken away and murdered. And because of that, because there's no biblical understanding about where life begins, people are perishing. I think again of the inner cities. I think of the gang problems. I think of whole areas that they know about HBO. They know about pornography. They know about all these things, but they don't know about Jesus Christ. And so where there's no vision, the people perish. Okay. So we can see that in the unsaved realm. We can say, wow, there needs to be a revival in our land, because go down to West Hollywood and look. There's no soul winners. There's no churches on fire for God. There's no bumper sticker saying go to this church. There's no witness for Christ. And what's happening? The people are what? Perishing. So when we talk about the demonstration of spiritual vision, listen, when the churches are strong and dads are leading for the Lord, and when there's a presence of God's Word in the society, there is life. And that's how America became a great nation. But when that light is diminished, people will perish. So Lamentation 3:51 says, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of the daughters of my city. And so when there is a vision for the things of God, it affects the heart. When there is a vision for sorrowful things, it affects the heart. When there is a vision for sinful things, it affects the heart. But when we have a heart or our vision for God, we'll have a heart for God. Now think about this, letter A. Without godly vision, then, families perish. Without godly vision, families perish. Without biblical principles, no family can stand. Now, let me tell you what you need more than Christian rock music, or rather any kind of music. You need the teaching, a clear teaching of the Word of God. In this emotionally based day, and the people look through the paradigm of their little idea of what they want, what they want. I'm going to tell you, look at the doctor's job is not to tell you what you want. It is to tell you what you need. I'm going to tell you right now what you and I need spiritually. We need more of the Word of God. And in a day when churches are cutting services and Christians want Bud Light Christianity, you know what we need? We need more and more of the Word of God. Okay? So your family needs the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're a young married couple tonight and you're here for Bible study, you're in the right place tonight. This is way better than watching Jeopardy, or this is way better than joining the bowling league or whatever everybody else in your neighborhood does. What we need tonight is just to take a moment and open the Word of God. You need for your family, number one, a vision to honor Christ. Ephesians 1:12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. All right. And then a vision to love your spouse. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. Thank God for men who love their wives. And I'm not just talking about the sacrifice of making a commute and getting back, but I'm talking about leading your wife and your family spiritually. That, where does that whole concept come from? It comes from the Word of God. Look at a lot of, half of men or more leave their families, and a lot of those that stay with their families, their idea of loving their wife is just kind of going to work and providing a paycheck. But there are some men in this room who know it's more than that. It's meeting her needs. It's meeting her spiritual needs, her physical needs, her emotional needs. It's developing a spiritual climate in your home. And you're not going to learn that in a Christian rock concert. You're going to learn that under the sound teaching of the Word of God. You see. And what we need tonight is this biblical vision for our families. What we need tonight is to come back to saying, Lord, help me to have a home life that's reflective of Your presence. That's why sometimes when we have new Christians into our house, they'll see some scripture verses on the plaques in our home, and they'll see a wife that loves her husband and vice versa, and they'll, for the first time, see a refrigerator without alcohol. And a lot of times new Christians just need to be around a Christian home to see, you know what, it's different here. By the way, how many of you believe it should be different? And that vision comes from the Bible. Christian teenagers don't have rock and roll posters in their bedroom. Christian dads don't have Budweiser, Harley Davidson girls pinned up in their garage. Well, where do we get this paradigm? Where do we get this different view? From the Word of God. Okay? Which tells us that we're to dwell and think on things that are lovely and pure. I'm just telling you, folks, I know it's old-fashioned, but Christian households should be very different from the households of the world. You see? And so, where do we get that vision for our home? It comes from the Word of God. After reading a book called The Man of the House, on his way home from work, the enlightened husband stormed into his house. He confronted his wife. He said, from now on, I want you to know, after reading this book, I am the man of this house. My word is law. He said, tonight, I want you to prepare me a gourmet meal and a sumptuous dessert just like the guy in the book. He said, then when I'm done eating, I want you to draw me a bath so I can have a relaxing soak. And when I'm finished with my bath, guess who's going to dress me and help me to comb my hair? His wife looked at him and said, the funeral director? Now, when I talk about leading the home, I'm not talking about demagoguery and just, you know, listen here type of thing. No, no. I'm talking about the type of leadership that our Lord Jesus Christ showed, which was illustrated by washing the disciples' feet, which was illustrated by saying, suffer little children to come unto me, which was illustrated by Jesus wept. I know He chased the money changers out of the temple. But how many of you thank God that we have such a wonderful Savior who showed us how to love? And this Sunday night we'll be learning from that from Philippians chapter 2. A vision for a vision to honor Christ, a vision to honor our spouse. Thirdly, a vision to yield our own will. A vision to yield our own will. Now, sometimes people call the church and they want counsel. And often what they want is to lay out their vision for the future. And then they want the stamp of approval for that. And let me just say something tonight, not just with pastoral counsel, but more so even with the Lord. Prayer is not me getting God in heaven to agree with my plan. Prayer is me agreeing with God's plan. It's seeking His will. It's seeking His face. No, none of you who have a daughter want your daughter to come in to your house one day and say, Dad, this is Zeke. He doesn't have a job. He doesn't have a car, but he has a really cool Stingray bike. And he doesn't have any money, but he's really fast at picking up aluminum cans. And I love Zeke. And I will marry Zeke Friday, and I hope you'll come. Not a dad in here wants that conversation. Okay? That's not getting counsel. That's telling you what they're going to do. Right? And that's why, by the way, as a little side note, you ought to always encourage your kids never to tell anyone they love them without talking to you first and getting your permission. They ought not to enter into that without mother and father understanding and approving. Say, well, they're 16 years old. They know everything about the whole universe. You know what they need to know is, never mind. But there is a difference between saying, this is what I'm going to do, and saying, Dad, I met a guy named Zeke. And it could be that Dad mentors Zeke, and 3 years, 10 years down the road, maybe a decade or two down the road, Zeke becomes a great man of God, okay? That's pastor's vision, you know, for every Zeke that walks into the church, much less God's vision for people. But the point is this. There's a difference between saying, here's my agenda, approve it, and saying, here's my agenda, Lord, change it if you want to. Or even in pastoral counseling, here's some things I'm looking at. Do you see any pitfalls here? What do you think would be a good idea? What would be a good next step? Now, that's what you call yielding your vision to God's vision, yielding your will, if you will, so that you'll not miss out on what God would have you to do. By the way, that's something that I have practiced for 25 years in my own life. And just so regularly with three or four men of God that before I've made major decisions of any kind in my life, and I mean, there have been times, I remember when our kids were dating, I remember Danielle and Peter over here, and boy, they fell in love, and I did not have a peace about the whole thing. And some of it may have been, she's my oldest daughter, and I was nervous, and man, I talked to Brother Gibbs and Brother Sis and Bobby Robertson and Brother Willette, and I said, man, I don't know, and I'm not sure, and sought their counsel, and I couldn't get a peace. And then I said, kids, I want you to stop dating for a while. And by the way, that's exactly what they did. They cried for 3 months, and their mother wasn't sure I was making the right decision. But she supported me, and the kids were so sweet and submissive. You know what, by the way? That was how I got the peace. That they were spiritual enough to obey. It gave me a peace. But during that whole process, I was a dad, not knowing exactly the right thing, seeking a lot of counsel, trying to do the right thing. And following the leadership of the Lord, following the leadership of the Word of God, and seeking counsel. What I'm saying is that I didn't go to these men and say, here's the way it is. It's all on or it's all off. I said, here's what I'm going through. Help me with this situation. And you know, in life, you have those times so often. And you want to make sure that you're getting the right counsel along the way. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, the Bible says. But verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's say that together. Submitting yourselves. One more time. Submitting. Now, some people can get, you know, the charismatic movement's gotten real crazy about this kind of stuff. And there's always some real dominant kind of a woman who just wants to come up to you and say, I have a word of wisdom for you from God. You know, do not buy a Volkswagen or whatever, you know. And they call it a word of wisdom. Now, again, our words of wisdom come from the Bible. Okay. So I'm not talking about some gift of revelation that I have or some woman has in the charismatic movement. But now listen, there is a principle here, submitting yourselves one another, fear of God. And the principle is this, if there's someone that comes to you and they're a good, faithful, godly Christian, and all they'd have to say to you, I'm going to take Brother Jones here for an example. And you say, well, Brother Jones, sometimes he said some things in class or he's a, I don't know, or whatever. All right, fine. He's human. But if, come here, Brother Jones. If Brother Jones comes up to Brother EJ, who's a young married man, and if he just says, hey, EJ, I just want to tell you something from 40 years experience in marriage. Walk slow with your wife and enjoy the journey. And here's $10. Go have dinner. And now you're listening, right?
Or if he says, I think you were a little rough there when you spoke to your wife, and not condemning you, but I just, all right. If he says that in that spirit, I'm going to tell you now what his spirit should be, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Okay. That should be the attitude. Now, I'm not talking about, I have a word of wisdom for you. Go to Japan as a missionary, okay? I'm not talking about goofy stuff, but I'm just saying. And look, some of us get too offended too easily. But if someone, thank you, Brother Jones, if someone, they're not trying to be hyper-spiritual, they're not claiming biblical revelation, just from a heart comes by and says something like that to you, or says it to me, then I want to take pause in my spirit. Here's a Christian who's filled with the Spirit, who's faithful to the Lord, who reads the Bible, and they say that. I'm not just going to say, mind your own beeswax. You know? I'm going to take a moment and take pause. Why? Submitting yourselves one to another in fear of God. Let's say it again. Submitting. Okay, so the demonstration of spiritual vision, without godly vision, our families are going to perish. And that's why we need to follow the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to seek godly counsel. We need to learn how to honor our Lord, love our spouse, and then yield our vision. Yield our vision. Don't go around in such a proudful way that you wouldn't be willing to adjust some things just a little bit in order to make sure that you're in the center of the will of God. All right, letter B. Without godly vision, churches perish. Without godly vision, churches perish. The word of God must be proclaimed in the church. 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, preach the word. All right? Let's say that together. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Okay? Now, some of you tonight, I want you to look at all of you, in fact, at verse 3. And because you'll let this buzz right over your head, and it shouldn't. For the time will come, and I believe it has come. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves. Now let me tell you what the average Southern California Christian wants. Listen very carefully. They want one service a week. They want a rock and roll band, and they want an 18-minute sermonette. And they want to call it church, and they want to call themselves spiritual. Okay? Now look at what it says. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear about the great doctrines. They don't want to hear all about the whole counsel of God. But they, after their own, what's the next word say, young couples? Look in your Bible, what does it say? After their own what? Lust. What my flesh wants. Now I'll tell you what my flesh wants. My flesh wants me to shut up right now so I can go to bed. My flesh wants popcorn and Dr. Pepper and mashed potatoes and roast beef. Twinkies. I mean, want to talk about what your flesh wants? It's probably a big long list, right? The lusts of the flesh. So, the average Christian shopper wants less doctrine, less church, a little more bouncing around, and get it over quick. That's what the average Christian wants. And the time will come when they will, after their own lusts, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, hey, give me a pastor that'll give me, you know, 6 easy steps to having fun and joy and getting along and in 18 minutes, and that'll be great with me. But let me tell you something about finding God's will. You don't find it in those environments. You find the will of God when you do what the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Preach the whole counsel of God. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reproved. And say, well, I don't know if I want that preaching. No, you don't. Because preaching convicts and makes us come to a place of decision. Okay? But this is not CBS tonight. This is BIBLE, Midweek Bible Study tonight. So preaching and teaching keeps us going in the right direction. That's why you never put a question mark where God puts a period. Whatever the issue is, when God gave you a decision in the revival meeting in 1997 with John Getch, and you said, I'm going to stake my claim, don't start putting a question mark where God put a period. Right? With your marriage, whatever the decisions have been. But stay true to the Word of God. The Word of God must be preached. The Word of God must be practiced. Be ye doers of the Word of God, and not hearers only. Now notice the quote. The implementation of spiritual vision is an act of faith in the Word of God. The implementation of spiritual vision. Say, well, I can make a lot more money if I move to Alaska. Wait a minute. That may or may not be God's will. Okay? And more often than not, God's will is going to require some faith on our part. Again, maybe not faith to Papua New Guinea, or maybe so, but it's going to require faith. So, where there's no vision, people will perish. Where there's no biblical vision, families perish. And we want to come back to that place where we say, God, I want to see the church stronger, our family stronger. Without godly vision, let me say this, nations perish. Nations perish. Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. And I won't spend a lot of time right there. How many of you believe America needs more Bible, not less Bible? More of God's revelation. So, the definition of spiritual vision, it's God's revelation. It's understanding the Word of God, the will of God. The demonstration of spiritual vision, if you're growing in spiritual vision and understanding, if you're yielding to the Holy Spirit, if you're open to biblical counsel, let me tell you something, it's not going to be perishing, it's going to be flourishing. But when we just say, I'm going to go with my own feeling, my own idea, my own flesh, you know, and kind of what I want for family and what I want for church and what I want for this and that, where there's no vision, Christianity light, the people perish. Okay. Thirdly, the details of spiritual vision. Let me just give you a few details that you can expect if you're committed to the Word of God, you're committed to yielding to the Holy Spirit of God, some things that you'll come to in your convictions. Letter A. You will have a perspective for this life. Your perspective changes. And here's your perspective. The perspective is this. This life is temporal. So I will not make every decision based upon the values of this world. Because this life is temporal. Now, say, well, it's just very important to me that I have whatever. You can fill in your blank, you know. That I live next to Uncle Zeke, that I have, you know, straight A's in school, that I have a real pretty girlfriend. And, I mean, honestly, that is so important to some people, they would become Pentecostal next week for a girlfriend. See. So, when all of a sudden, when what you want matters most, you start making goofy decisions, folks. And so the fact of the matter is that when you get back in love with God and His Word, and now you're seeking His vision, one of the things you're going to remember is, you know what? What is life? It's but a vapor. And I'll not give my life to this cause or that cause. My life is for the cause of Christ. James chapter 4 is very clear about that. What is your life? It is even a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. And then, secondly, happiness is found in obedience to God. When you really get God's perspective, it's something like this. Life is short. I want to do God's will in this life. Secondly, happiness is not getting my way. Happiness is in getting God's way and giving Him His way. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Watch this, verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold. God says, hey, what you want more than anything should be the judgments of God, the righteousness of God, the truth of God. More to be desired are they than gold, yeah, than much fine gold. All right? And as the economy is so unstable and all the problems in Greece and Europe and wherever else, everyone's talking about, you know, just we gotta have the safe haven of gold because that's safe. I don't know if that's true or not. Let me tell you this right now. I can tell you something more important than gold. This book. Say, well, I've just landed a job. I'm telling you, I don't know if there's a good church there or not. I'm telling you, I know I've grown a lot here. I hope I grow there. I hope I grow there if I move there. But I know this, I can make so much gold, right? Is that now? So life's going to last forever and having more is the main thing? You know, whatever happened to, Lord, not my will but thine be done. Lord, do you want me to go to the mission field? Lord, do you want me in ministry? Lord, what do you want me to do? You see. And I'm just saying, when you start looking at the details of someone living with a biblical spiritual vision, their priorities are very heavenly minded. They're setting their, it's not that, It's not that God may or may not bless them materially or dating or whatever other things they want. In fact, the scriptures say this, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things many times are added to us. But it's just when we put those other things out there in front, we can many times miss the most important things. And so we want to desire His word more than gold, more than the things of this world. Peter Forsyth said, the first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master. All right, let's say that together. The first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master. Okay. And so a perspective for life. And then finally, and of course, so importantly, someone that really understands biblical vision, they're going to have the promise of eternal life. They're going to recognize, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How can you seek God's vision without realizing He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? You say, what's God's will for my life? Let me start with square one. God's will for your life is that you'd get saved. That's the very first thing. And God wants you to have eternal life through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how's your vision tonight? What you've been dreaming about for the future? And why have you been dreaming that? What motivates you? Well, kind of homesick. Well, kind of tired of my neighbors. Well, kind of lonely. Thought I'd try another relationship. Well, you know, I just thought maybe I'd just try this other job. But what's motivating you? Are you doing that because you say, I think more souls can get saved this way? Are you doing that because you say, I think because that is a much better spiritual environment for my marriage? Why are you making this decision? What's driving your vision tonight? God's Word and the Holy Spirit, or just, I am sick and tired of this, so I'm going to go do that? Because if other stuff more than the Bible and the Holy Spirit are directing you tonight, that's the steering wheel of your life, it's a surefire way to get out of God's will. Okay. Say, well, there's just some things about my life right now I don't like. Welcome to life. And I'm not that old. But I have lived long enough to tell you this tonight. Changing addresses never changes the troubles of life. Changing spouses never changes the troubles of life. Changing jobs never changes the trouble of life. But I'll tell you what really helps life a lot. When I change. When I conform to the Word, when I yield to the Spirit, I can even live in Lancaster and be happy. Right? I can sit next to so-and-so in church and be happy. I think I had to learn that lesson the first time. And how many of you are like me? Do you have to learn lessons more than once? Anybody, or am I the only one? I think one of the first times I ever learned that lesson was when my dad came in one day, and I'm closing with this now, and he came in and said to me and my brother, he said, well, boys, you know, I've been taking some trips to Korea. Yes, sir, Dad. Praise the Lord. And I just thought you'd like to know, now that you're, you know, 9th, 10th grade, starting to drive and play tackle football, and now that you're kind of entering the prime of high school, just want you to know that we're going to be moving to Korea. I thought, we're going to be what? My idea of God's will was all about me being happy. And for me, that meant living in Southern California, getting a car, playing football, doing all the things that I wanted to do. And all of a sudden, all that got upheaved. I mean, just upheaval took place in our life. And for the first several months in Korea, I mean, I wish I could say, oh, I was passing out tracts and I was preaching and, you know, Youth for Christ, you know, millions were saved. Can I tell you what I did the first few months there without going into a long, long story, Brother Keck? I sulked. Any of you have teenagers that ever sulk? Don't give up on sulking teenagers. That's what I did. I just was like, and they say, hey, we had 7 saved in church today. Yeah, yeah. You know, just kind of, that was just my attitude about it, you know. Want to take a drive around our new neighborhood and see the neighborhood? And it was disgusting. Everything was disgusting. Back then, I want to go into it. There's just a lot of things. They didn't have sewage systems and such. It was just disgusting. And all I saw was the disgusting part of it. So I was a disgusted, sulking teenager. And in my mind, this is what I thought, just like sometimes you think. I will not be happy until I'm back in McDonald Land, America. Because back then in Korea, I mean, they had no McDonald's. They had nothing like that. I mean, it was just nothing. And so that's what I decided. And I've seen people do this in the summertime sometimes too. I will be happy when I am in Arkansas. Oh, that'll be a great place. You and Bill and Hillary maybe could sit down and talk. I will be happy when I have so many friends. Oh, really? I will be happy when... Go ahead, put it in. What will make you happy? And for me, right there, Brother Russell, was happy was getting out of Korea. I was talking to Brother John Honeycutt yesterday. He was telling me his dad was a missionary in the Philippines, and for a graduation present, his dad took him to... I forget where they went. They went to like from Korea down to Singapore and over into somewhere in Australia and basically around the world on the way home. I said, man, you know, my dad offered me that exact same trip. And I said, hey, Dad, just get me to McDonald Land. I'm not kidding. I just want to get back to America, back to the farm in Colorado. I could have cared less about seeing anything else. I want to get back to America. Because in my mind, I thought that would make me happy. Right? Guess what? I got to America. I had to work. At college, I had to work. I had to get demerits. I had a roommate who smelled. I had to sit in traffic and pay bills. I never had enough money. Somehow the devil had convinced me it was so much better. Why? Because my idea of vision was what I wanted. And tonight, if you have an idea that everything's going to be great when, it could be tonight that you're under the delusion of you know who. Oh, it's going to be better when I can just divorce Martha. Oh, yeah, it's going to be great. You and some old whatever else you get. I just want to say, hold the phone, okay? And get back to the Word of God, and let's follow God's vision in the summer of 2011 for our lives. And all God's people said, amen.
Let me remind you that you can receive a daily devotional by logging on at dailyintheword.org. If you'd like more Bible study materials, you can also visit strivingtogether.com. Anything we can do to help and encourage you in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would count that as a great honor. God bless you.